About page Kuf Samach Beis, Perek Yud Gimel. It's a very, very appropriate way to begin or to resume by learning about Achshav Savreichim and Perek Yud Gimel. The Rebbe shows us a basic mahalach of how a person should make a cheshbon hanefesh. How to make a cheshbon hanefesh to be a person that's a bar de chushbana, somebody who thinks about what he's done and thinks about ways to improve his life, to change his life. And it's very practical. Plan, a healthy plan is always how to be Eved Hashem in the way that he received from his illustrious ancestors. Kol Devareinu, B'chol HaKunchus. All that we've been learning in the Kunchus, Gam Kol HaChsidus, Yechel Nitzkayim B'Yishim B'Mar D'Chushman. All the beautiful things that we've been talking about throughout the Sefer can only really take effect l'maisa in the life of a person who is a marid chushma, in other words, a Jew, somebody who makes a cheshbon hanefesh, somebody who takes an accounting of his soul. He's a marid chushma. A person can learn and hear and see all kinds of beautiful things, but if someone doesn't make a cheshbon hanefesh, so then it doesn't come out b'poil, then it doesn't come out l'maisa. Ki zeu yisoid ha'avoyde b'chlal va'avoydes achsidus b'frat, because this is the foundation of our avoydes Hashem, that a person should constantly be thinking about his life. And A person should be making a cheshbon nefesh, and avodas achsidus befrat. Some people think that cheshbon nefesh is only something that's from the Balei Musa, from the Musa Svar, not from the Chassidus Svar, not Alpi Chassidus. Alpi Chassidus, a person is just supposed to be happy, and everything is, you know, not to think about anything that he's done or anything of his past. That's a terrible mistake. Is that you said havada b'chlal or chassidus b'frat? Obviously, the emphasis, as we're going to see, in chassidus is more on recovering in a positive way. But certainly, it's the absolute way of Torah that a person should be living with a cheshbon hanefesh. Hine heveinu le'el misvar makadoshim. We learned earlier from the Svar Makadoshim, Shebishas Tayru Utfila Loyasa Cheshbainis. Much of what he writes here is based upon what the Rav Balatanya writes in the Geres HaTshuva. And he quotes the Rav later on. We've already learned that when a person is learning and davening Loyasa Cheshbainis, that's a klal, an absolute klal in Avodas Hashem, in all the Svar Makadoshim, that when a person is learning and davening, he does not start to think about his averus. He doesn't start to think about parts of his life that need to be repaired. That's not the inyan of Torah Tefillah. L'yaseh cheshbonos. It's a klal. And it's a Yetzirah, a person knows himself, that even though he never makes a cheshbon nefesh stam, sitting down with a seichel and to prepare the way a cheshbon nefesh should be made, he doesn't sit down and think over things in a masudatik way, but just when a person is davening and learning, so all kinds of machshavis about unworthiness and all kinds of averis pop into the head. Certainly, in our davening, we ask in a thousand places. We ask throughout davening for forgiveness, but we don't go into, in our minds, we do not make a cheshbon, with the exception of when we say vidui, and even vidui, you say what the vidui is, that's either by Tachlon or on Yom Kippur and so on, but otherwise we don't go into any of the pratim of things that we've done wrong. One of the things that we ask for, in a general way, is that Hashem should forgive us. But we don't go into the prate pratim and make a cheshbon and nefesh to try to remember the things that we've done wrong. So he says, that's b'shas teru tefila liyaseh hashbainis. Avarak b'shazu liyaseh hashbainis b'bnesha teru tefila v'avayda tzvichas liyas b'shaskas v'simcha. When a person is learning, on davening, and also when a person is doing a mitzvah, those have to take place with his chaskas and simcha. And if a person starts to think about his aveiras when he's learning davening or doing a mitzvah, so then the aveira, besides that the aveira itself was a kilkel, was something that was bad at the time that it took place, now the aveira is also ruining your avodas Hashem. The only hope that you have is the learning and davening the kima mitzvahs to change. And the aveira is now stretching out its hand to take away from you your learning and your davening and your mitzvahs also. Learning, davening, and mitzvahs have to take place with ischaskus and simcha. V'zei efshar b'shar shemistakel b'riya amitis v'royes matzavo be'emes. And that can't be. That feeling of great ischaskus and simcha, that's not going to happen at the time that a person is looking in an honest way. Obviously, if he's deluding himself, he could always be b'simcha. And it could always be his chaskas if he's not honest with himself, and all he ever sees when he thinks about himself are good things and everything is perfect and fine. But if a person is thinking be'emes about those things in his life that are not good and things that he's done wrong, then it's not any taste at the heart. Then it's not possible to have his chaskas and simcha. To feel his chaskis and simcha. Ze'ef shabishal shemistaka b'ri amitis v'rayis matzav be'emes. If a person is looking honestly at his life and is thinking be'emes about his matzav, then he can't feel his chaskis and simcha. Avol k'may she'ef shalatera tefila b'sha'aches m'chesh ben nefesh. But the same way, it's not possible that Torah and tefila should take place simultaneously with a sincere cheshbon and nefesh. Kein ef shalhen belado legamrei. So too, there can't really be learning Torah, real learning, real limud Torah, and real tefila also can't take place unless a person is somebody who makes a cheshbon and nefesh. So even though b'shas Torah, b'shas tefila, a person is forbidden to go into the pratim, into details of his faults and of his aveiras, because that will take away the whole avodah of Torah and Tefillah, still there can't be real, authentic Torah and Tefillah unless a person makes a proper cheshbon and nefesh. King Eev Shalahan Belada Lagamri, Haid Bemisha Ein Mistakel Ba'atzmai. A person who doesn't look at himself. A person who's never, ever machniyah, in other words, never humbling his ruach, his spirit, by making a cheshbon nefesh and thinking about his aveiros and his and the things that are wrong, that his midas and so on. That person, he says. His learning, he can't learn and he can't daven b'emes. I mean, the learning can be completely intellectual and the davening can be just to say the words. But it should be with hachna, and it should be able to be effective. It's only if a person it makes a cheshbon and nefesh. Therefore, you don't do it during learning and davening. And any time that a thought of a person's faults or avarice comes into the head when you're learning your davening, you have to drive those out. You have to reject those machshavas like any other machshavas psulas, like any other machshavas zaras. You have to remove those from your head. Those are not coming. Those are not coming to kedusha. So what's a cheshbon nefesh? A cheshbon nefesh is that a person sets aside time, as the Tanya writes, he sets aside time. Choyv al kalachot, it's an obligation for each person. Lasas leizmanen, to set specific times aside. Listaklus hazois, for this istaklus, this introspection, he sets aside time. Listaklus hazois. Kvisha isa besifre kaidish, noach livchal zahashos, sherucha shalish nidke me'eza daga, afilu gufanis vinyani tzachav. Now, the Rebbe points out here that it, in some of the Sfarim HaKadoshim it says, and the Rebbe has used this time and time in his Sfarim, the Rebbe says that besides, let's say, setting aside a specific time, a Thursday night, an Erev Shabbos, whatever it is that person wants to, an Erev Rosh Chodesh, a Yom Kippur Katan, to set aside time for a Cheshbon HaNefesh, the Rebbe, as you know, as we've seen in many places, The Rebbe teaches that when a person's heart is benkach or benkach opened, when a person is in a certain, we'll call it mood, when a person is anyway in a certain mood, the Marshal, we learned that if a person is in a mood of his alus, of aliyah, so then it's a very, very great opportunity at that time. That benkach, what's the reason? Why does he have this mood? Why is he in a, because of a, he made some extra money, somebody complimented him, some Indian of this world, some Narishkeit of this world, but his matzav hanefesh is a matzav of aliyah and of his chaskus. It's coming from a silly place, but that's his matzav nefesh, his matzav ruach, is a matzav ruach of his chaskus and aliyah. So the Rebbe says, so take advantage of that for davar shebekedusha and to say some kapilch tehillim or to daven or to sing a nigin of kedusha, because you're in that mood anyway, and the heart has been opened anyway, so you should take advantage of that. Like the Rebbe explained, and we learned in Bnei Machshavah Tov, he says it in many places that he compares it to a person who is in jail, but he was taken to jail. And he's only allowed for a few minutes, 15 minutes a week, he's allowed to have a visitor. So the Rebbe, I'm sure many of you remember this, the Rebbe taught that the visitor could be anybody. So he says that this guy's father comes with a briefcase, the file, to discuss some of the legal inyanim, and the father comes to the cell, and they open up the door of the guy's cell, of his son's cell. They open it up and he's able to be there for 15 minutes, and the guy's standing outside. So the Rebbe said, can you imagine that the father, he has 15 minutes a week or 15 minutes a month, and the father comes there into the cell and he opens up the file and he just starts to talk about, you know, legalities. So the Rebbe says, of course he has to go over the case with him. But how could he not at least give his son a hug and cry a little bit and tell him that he loves him for a minute or two, and then they could begin to look at the papers? And the Rebbe says that the klal is that it really makes no difference how the prison door was open or who opened the prison door. In this particular case, the guy that opened the prison door was some guard, some anuvel, some muskos, who knows, a bigger murderer than anybody that's in the jail. He's the one that opened the door. It doesn't make a difference how the door was open. The Metzius says that the door is open. And if the door is open, then you have to take advantage of the moment that the door is open and use it for something which is real. So the Rebbe says the same thing. There are different reasons why the door of the heart of a human being opens. It could be for very, very great things. It could be during a Shalashudas or a Ne'ilah, whatever it might be, that the heart is open. But then there are simple things a person feels. A person is sad about something that in his life, and he's thinking about this, or a person is very, very happy, whatever it might be. A person's emotions are more attuned. He's more attuned to his emotions, and his heart is open. So the Rebbe says it doesn't make a difference how the heart opened. It could be the silliest thing in the world. You know, you, could be the silliest thing. You know, you got a promotion at work, or you made a lot of money. It could be something from the Mehai Alma, something from the Havolim of this world. Whatever it is, you know, you accomplish something in this world. So it's a thing of this world, but you're feeling very good about it. So you should take advantage of that. So the Rebbe says here also that a time for cheshbon nefesh is when benkach. There's a time you didn't plan on it, but you're very, very worried and nervous about something. You're worried about a kid. You're worried about panos. There's plenty of things to be nervous about. So a person is benkach. He's already in that state of anxiety and worry, and he's thinking, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with my life? In other words, my parnasa, what am I going to do with this kid? But he's in a place of daigus. So even though that itself is not a cheshbon nefesh, and daigus and worries and concerns over things of this world can be very, very destructive, but since he's introspective at that moment, it's a moment of histaklus, which is not so easy for people like us, histaklus. So since it's a moment of histaklus pnimis, in other words, I'm looking inwards, and I'm wondering what's going to be. I'm wondering what's going to be with my bank account, or I'm wondering what's going to be with this kid. I'm wondering what's going to be with this problem at work, and I'm nervous about it. I have daigus about it. So daigus themselves, daigus usually don't help anything. They make things worse. But since the person is in that way of feeling and thinking, so he could take advantage and say, you know what, for 5 minutes, let me stop thinking about money. Let me stop thinking about even what's doing with his kid, or what's doing with the Sholem Bayis, or my daiga over the future, or my daigus over the past, or my daigus, or whatever. Let me stop thinking about it. In other words, I'm still going to be doeg. I want to worry, because I'm in the worrying mode. I want to feel bad about something. You know, I'm feeling bad. I don't want, but I'm feeling bad about something. So for a few minutes, let me turn aside just as far as the content of my daig is concerned. Right now, I'm worried about, you know, I'm worried about my tennis swing. You know, that it hasn't been going well. The last couple of times I was out there with the guys on a Sunday or something playing tennis, I got smeared. It was really embarrassing. And I don't know what's going on. My elbow's a little bit, you know, not like it used to be. And the guy's getting very upset thinking about how he's getting older and his elbow's not the same. And now, you know, he thought that maybe he was one day going to be in the U.S. Open or something. And he has all kinds of daigus about his elbow. And then he starts to think about, well, I'm getting old, so my elbow's not so good, so maybe there's something else that's wrong with me. You know, and Batevi's a little bit of a hypochondriac. So he starts to think about, who knows, maybe if I have a problem with my elbow, then maybe there's something wrong with my pancreas or something. You know, he starts one of these guys. So he gets into all kinds of daigus. And these daigus, of course, are coming from all kinds of silly places, or daigus and Nairishkeit daigus. But a person is already in such a place of daiga. So can you imagine the Rebbe saying that if a person says, you know what, I'll come back to the daiga over my health. I'll come back to that daiga over my health. But since I'm already in a place of daigus, let me worry about, let me think about some spiritual ailments. Some problems I'm having with my tefillin elbow, you know what I mean? Not just my tennis elbow. Like, how do I put on tefillin on this arm? What do I think about when I put on tefillin? And how many years I've been putting on tefillin? And it's empty and nothing, and I don't even remember what I'm saying, and I don't even know what I'm doing, and how many machshavas I have when I'm wearing tefillin, all kinds of mudna machshavas, zaris, and silly things that I think about, and that I'm not mindful of the kedushas atfilin, which is a bechina that sits at the kain. That the kohen would wear, and my thoughts are constantly straying, and I'm thinking even thoughts that I shouldn't be thinking. The person can use the opportunity, since the it doesn't make a difference how the door of the prison got opened. Right now, that prison is open because you're thinking something. No, you're thinking you have daigus. So the Rebbe says so. Then use that as an opportunity for cheshbon nefesh. Instead of wasting it on daigus from things of this world that not mala murray doesn't make a difference, only gets you depressed. And what's the whole tachlis anyway of this world? And what are the daigus that you have over this world? As if the daigus of your panosa, worrying of your panasa is going to bring you more panasa. Daigus over panasa usually makes less panasa. And daigus over things of this world, as opposed to doing what you're supposed to do, are not good. But ben kach, you're in a place of daigus, and you're looking at things in your life. You're studying your life. You're making a cheshbon of your life. What's the cheshbon? The cheshbon is, I spent this much money on that, and I bought this, and I sold that, and this property or this thing is no good. You're making a cheshbon. So since you're in that place of a cheshbon, and you're going over things in your life, things that are causing you concern and anxiety, so use that as an opportunity, as an opportunity for cheshbon nefesh, for hestaklus in your avodas Hashem. That's what the Rebbe explains here. Kfi she'isa b'sifrei kodesh noach noach livcha al zeh. In other words, ideally he's going to explain, a person doesn't, it's not subject to all these different daigas and anxieties, but ideally a person sets aside time and he works on a cheshbon nefesh. In other words, he sets aside a time and he sits down and he makes a cheshbon nefesh. But what the Rebbe is saying is that it's noyach livchal zehashos, that for people who are not used to this, for people who are not used to making a cheshbon nefesh, for people who are not used to thinking about panimius, it's easier to take advantage of those times when anyway he's making a cheshbon. The cheshbon is not a cheshbon in ruchnius. He's making a cheshbon on other things that's causing him to get upset. It could even be in some haruchnius. He's worried about the kid's not learning properly, the kid's not davening, or he's, God forbid, doing things that he shouldn't be doing, and you're very, very nervous and worried about your child. So a person can use that as a time for cheshbon hanefesh. Since for someone who's not in the habit of making cheshbon hanefesh, it's easier once the prison door has been opened in such a way, because of other daigas of things of this world, to ready make a cheshbon hanefesh. Noach livchal zehashol sherucha shel ha'ish nidke me'eza daiga. Anyway, your heart is being humbled and is being crushed because of a daiga, some other worry. Afilu gufanius, even if it's a worry about something physical, about health, and so on. Minyan yitzarcha, the things that you have to take care of, that need to be taken care of, problems and so on. Vim stam yoyd loy ezes man lezeh. But if you have chosen a time for cheshbon nefesh, in other words, let's say you set a Thursday night or an Erev Shabbos. B'chol, Erev Shabbos is a very, very choshev time for cheshbon nefesh. We know from the Sfar Makadosh. But whatever it is, you've set a time for that. That you've designated a time that you're going to try to be Isaac in cheshbon nefesh. So the Rebbe says, Yakdim meis la'is l'mayit b'mayichel mishta. The Rebbe says that for you, that time should be a little bit of a Yom Kippur. A little bit of Yom Kippur. And you should try to, not to fast, you don't have to fast, we're not, nowadays fasting is not, as he says, we're not so good at that, and it distracts us also if there's a lot of fasting. But you should use that time before the 24 hour period. Let's say you're going to make a cheshbon nefesh, whatever it might be, a certain day that you've chosen, and you're going to make cheshbon nefesh, then that time, that entire 24 hour period should be like a little bit of Yom Kippur for you. Not to fast mamish, but to be conscious that you're eating less and speaking less. We learned in the some of the chevra we're learning in the fourth chelik of the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, where he brings down there from the Beis Medrash in Kelm that one of the spiritual exercises in Kelm amongst many was that a person should make a Yom Kippur every 7 days or every 10 days or every 50 days, his own private Yom Kippur. It means that in your life, whatever that, however you count the time, But it shouldn't just be Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur shouldn't just be once a year. Of course, Yom Kippur, which is Yom Kippur, okay. But there should be, for each person should have whatever he was talking about, that every 10 days or, but let's say once a month, once every 2 months, that every in calendar, they said that every single person should set aside one day where during that, where that day is a day that's completely devoted to the Torah and to Tefillah and to Cheshbon HaNefesh and to Tillim and so on. And if he's able to fast, it's better nowadays not to fast, but to eat less, not to have any nash that day, not to indulge in the usual, you know, people with all their avodah zarah, whether it's a soda, whether it's a coffee, you know.
Burger's bar?
Yes. Okay, if that's your own, you know, then put aside a day without the burger's bar. Okay, so. You know, I know there are a lot of new places all the time because my kids are reporting about Vayitshusu, Vayirbu, Vayatsmu that's going on in the, you know, on Central Avenue, and Vatimolei Haaretz Oisam. So, which is an encouraging thing because only from one perspective that the mitzvah, that the hope that the Jews that are making a panasa. And that's for sure a good thing, but in every other respect, in every other way, that's a very discouraging development. But whatever that person is, you know, that Vatamali Eretz Yisrael, it's not so often that I happen to be, but if I either take the kids to school or something, if they missed the bus, so I had to take one of the children. It is a pellet to me. I, even though I guess on some level I have nachas. How many men and women are sitting in these places like at 10:30 in the morning or something, or at 9 o'clock in the morning, sitting in these breakfast joints? It's not nevera, but nishkan grace and mitzvah. You understand? But we're not going to go into bariches. So if it's burger bar, so it's burger bar. I hope that's not for breakfast, but it's that's later on in the day. A person makes that day a special day. A Yom Kippur day. He's mamayit b'dibur. He tries to speak less, to say less. He tries to make a time that there should be uninterrupted learning. Whatever he's able to do, a half hour uninterrupted. Uninterrupted doesn't only mean without phones and things, but not to take your head out of the Indian for 15 minutes, a half hour. But he makes it a Yom Kippur. And he keeps on his calendar, he makes a little dot in his calendar on his machine that day, whatever it is, Erevesh, Chaydish, Cheshvan, Kislev, whatever it is, or that Erev Shabbos, that when a person has a little bit of time, that he should make it a day that's with Torah and Tefillah, at least part of the day. And the Rebbe is saying here that the time that he sets aside for Cheshbon HaNefesh, he should try that he should come to that time of Cheshbon HaNefesh prepared. And how do you come to a time of Cheshbon HaNefesh prepared? He says that for the 24 hours before, since that Cheshbon HaNefesh is for you, it's like it's a little bit of a Yom Kippur for you. It's a Yom Kippur cotton for you to change your life. It could in many ways be more effective than Yom Kippur. If you keep this up regularly, if you're a person that does this on a regular basis, the Rebbe's telling us a very practical thing that we find in the Svarma Kedeshim. That period of time before, Meisleis, not that day, but from the night before, from sunset, sundown of the night before, that a person should be Mema'ed Ba'achila, to eat significantly less food. You have to fast, because then it becomes, if a person's not strong b'teva, then he becomes like he does during fast days, he becomes crazy with eating. He's thinking about how much time is left to the fast, and he's fasting and he feels very, very tired and it's hard for him. But if a person would, during that, and other people notice it already, but no, just to take those 24 hours before the Cheshbon HaNefesh, to take that time before the Cheshbon HaNefesh, and to eat significantly less, and not to eat his favorite things, and not to the Chazanish. I mentioned a while back. The Chazanish said once that a fresser, you know what a fresser is? A fresser is not a person who necessarily eats a lot, because there are some people that they need more than other people. He says a fresser is a person who thinks about eating and talks about eating a lot. That's a fresser. So a person that doesn't think about eating or doesn't talk about it, just sits down and eats. That's not a fresser. I mean, obviously you could overdo it. But he says, but a person who thinks about it and who talks about it, he says, that's a fresser. That's a fresser. Like I said, like you have on the, I said, like I mentioned when I was talking about this recently, that you have on the news, every station has special people, that the whole panosa is to go around to restaurants and then to come back to the radio and to say that he, you know, that the shrimp in this place is not 100%, or something wrong with the shrimp. So it means that this guy goes his whole life and he's eating foods in different restaurants, and then people have all kinds of magazines and their television shows and movies about eating, right? About eating, not just how to prepare the food, but how the food tastes and where the food, you know, with different restaurants and all kinds of guys. People talk about it and they think about it and they plan about it. So you understand, there are different levels of fasting. One is not to eat at all. That's a regular tannis that we're familiar with. But it could be that you're spending half the time is thinking about how you're not eating. And wondering what's it going to be like to eat. Right? And talking to your wife, or talking to your husband, or talking to your brother, talking to your sister about what? About this place and what we're going to eat afterwards and how it's going to like that. But if a person is able during the Mei Sleis just to pay less attention to pull himself away a little bit from this world, to pull himself away. Let's say he reads the newspaper every day, because otherwise he's afraid that he's not gonna be able to know in case there's an atomic war or something. So he reads the newspaper every day. So, or he reads, you know, he reads all the stocks every day. I'm not talking about a person who obviously does that for Panossi. He has to know what's going on with the stocks. But stop a person because of his stock or he looks. So during that day, that a person should not read the paper, should not listen to the radio, and should not check all the different things in the stocks and so on, but to use that Mei Sleis. And no one in the world should know about it. Nobody in the world should know that. That's your own personal time that you set aside for Cheshbon HaNefesh. And the Cheshbon HaNefesh can be a million times more sincere and more authentic, more real, more honest. If a person, for and at least some level, took himself out of the world, of the physical world. So less eating, less speaking, not in a way that everybody, not in a way like they do in the yeshivas, that, you know, in Elul, he starts making signs and doing all kinds of things. And he says, Satan is Dibur, and, you know, he might as well put up a sign when you come into the Bais Medrash that Moshe Kapaya has a Tanis Dibur today. If you want to speak to him, please understand that he's going to be using sign language as a way to respond to you. That defeats the whole Tanis Dibur. But that a person speaks less and thinks about what he says, to think about what you're saying, to be careful with your words, just for that Mei Sleis, for that 24-hour period. And at the end of the 24 hours, at the end of that time, it doesn't exactly, but at the end of that period of time, less eating, without newspapers, without radio, without trying to be Mamai B'Divur. After that, then the person sits down, and he makes a cheshbon nefesh, like the Rebbe talks about now. We're going to see he makes a cheshbon nefesh. It's much, much more effective than just coming straight from the burgers bar and going into your cheshbon nefesh. You're grepsing from the burgers bar. So it's very hard with that ruach to be ma'al something else. You understand? And machshavis and the pnimius. A person is so caught up in this world, so caught up in this world, that it's almost impossible to have a pnimistika machshav of who he is, be'emes. So, therefore, the Sfarim tell us that you take time before the cheshbon nefesh, take time to disengage from the physical world. And each person according to his madrega of how the person pulls back a little bit, nothing extreme, but how the person should pull back a little bit from this world. Without discussing with anybody, that nobody in the world should know that you're doing that. Because the second that it's already known, it's already fulfilled. then it becomes an inyan of gaiva, and it's an inyan chitzayni. It's already something which is a game. It's chitzayni. It's to be davar pnimi, only within oneself, davar pnimi, to know when that time is, and to take that time and to make it until the Yom Kippur. Loishi is ana. That's what the Rebbe says. Not to fast. Rak she yamayit behem. Just to have less. Kadesh libay nichna, that the heart becomes humbled, and the heart becomes humbled and softer. Shelibay nichna v'ruchay nidke, and his ruach is more oppressed. The oppressed ruach means his ruach also is more humbled. Umuch shaliriyah v'cheshman hazeh. And then he's more, his heart and his ruach become more mukhshar, more qualified, more prepared to be able to make a cheshbon hazeh, as opposed to the person who's immersed in his regular quota of this world, and then to go into the cheshbon hanefesh, then the cheshbon hanefesh could also be something of this world, but it's not something which is emes. It could be a very superficial cheshbon hanefesh, just like you're engaged in all kinds of superficial things with the eating and the talking and the schmoozing and the newspapers and the running around and the work. So the cheshbon hanefesh could also become something which is it could become chas v'shalom like one of the other mitzvahs that we do. You understand? It could become like another mitzvah. So I have another thing. What's my thing? I also do a cheshbon hanefesh, and then before you know it, it's already going to be in the newspapers. Join the Cheshbon Nefesh Shavu'i or Chodshi, and do like thousands of Jews are doing, and then they'll print up calendars that you can buy in the store for Cheshbon Nefesh. And then it already becomes this. That's finished. Huh?
In the concert afterwards.
Then there'll be a fundraiser, because we're having our first Malava Malka for the Cheshbon Nefesh Society. Right, it's our first Malava Malka, and it's it's really finished with it. It becomes then it's just another union of this world, and it's become now. It doesn't mean to say that a person can't have, like we see, b'nei machshava toiv. That's not void. That a person has a chove toiv. When I said not to tell anybody, but if you have a be'emes a chove, if you have a chove, a friend, a real friend in avodas Hashem, certainly that can be in conjunction with a chavrus in avodas Hashem, 100%. I only mean when I say not to tell people and not to publicize, not to tell people who are not, it's not negated to them. A person, you have certain people that their whole tev is his galus alev, that any single thing that they're doing in their Yiddishkeit, they have to tell somebody. Hello, I'm trying to do tshuva. Who are you? What are you? I'm about tshuva, And it's not. The person's asik is asik with a pnimi, and the second you start to talk to other people about it, it's already his galus alev, and it's all whatever it is, it's coming from some other emotional thing, a need. It's not taking care of your neshama, it's taking care of a need. But people have a need to be recognized in different ways, so they'll go and talk to people about their avayd and their mitzvahs and their tayv and their tshuva, and that's so what's the derinyan in there. So what do you want them to pick? To give you a pinch and to say I'm proud of you? It's not their inyan, it's your inyan, and therefore whatever your isaac in tikkun amidas or in tikkun habayas, whatever it is, it's your inyan. You don't talk to people about your inyan. Who can you talk to about it? Either a rabbi, of course, you go if you want to talk about it, or if you have a chavet toiv that your isaac in a cheshbon nefesh could be. Chaveirim who are Isaac and something, and they could put aside time and they're learning an union together, that's good. But even then, when it comes to the protein obvious of a person's life, so great care has to be taken about how this should be kept as something which is private and personal. But the avoid, it could be with a chaver, and a chaver could know that the two of them have that time that they make once a month, whatever it is, and the Isaac in Cheshbon Nefesh, and the Isaac in Tshuva, and they try to learn something together to get ready, and then they mechazik each other during that time, and that's for sure a good thing. This could be a husband and a wife that they're always worried about the children, or they're worried about one of the children, what's going to be, so they can set aside a time that whatever it is, that Monday night, you know, or for the day of Monday, so we're going to try, the two of us, for the sake of our child, we're going to either fast or we're going to eat less, as we're not going to go to the coffee shop, you know, Monday morning. We're going to eat less, and you're going to say Tillim, and I'm going to try to say Tillim. We'll try to finish up a certain amount of Kapitlach, whatever it is. You'll take 10, I'll take 10. You want to do something for your kid, do that instead of sitting around and correcting. And you make it, you and your wife make it that day for your child's sake. You make it a Yom Kippur Katan for your child's sake. Obviously, it's not a Chol HaMoed and it's not a Rosh Chodesh, right? Shabbos, but you make it a day. What are you allowed? You make a day for thinking about them, davening for, and you eat less, or if you're holding by, and it's not going to make a problem, then you could fast part of the day. It could be a ton of shows. And that's a day that the two of you, the husband and wife, are focusing on avoda, and it should be a schus for this child. That's more effective than any worrying that you'll do. And you use that time for that. V'loishiyaseh es ma'aseyu b'chipazin. And be careful that this should not take place the way that a lot of other things in our life takes place. B'chipazin, you know, without it being carefully and patiently worked out. A person has to have a quiet time and a quiet place. It's not necessary to even say without any of the telephones, without the cell phones. You know, you don't have to wait for somebody to say the chasn and the kala request that everybody turns off their cell phone. A person occasionally should hear a bas call from Shemayim saying that the master of the universe respectfully asks you to turn off your cell phone. You don't have to wait for the chasn and kala to ask you to turn off the cell phone, to turn off all of those things, and not with the emails, not with anything else. And the person should be with the yishuv hadas. Well, she asks ma'aseh b'chipazon. Now the Rebbe is saying the frame of mind that a person he recommends, the way of thinking when a person wants to do a cheshbon nefesh. What's the frame of mind? How do you enter into that way of a cheshbon nefesh? This is very, very important, very practical, and very doable for people like us. Completely practical and doable for every one of us. The Rebbe says that a person should think at that time that he should see himself as if his guf, his body, his soul, his nefesh, ruach, and neshama are standing in judgment before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People of Abali Avayda don't just have Elul Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. People who are not Bali Avayda, even Elul Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is not. But a person who is an Oved Hashem, he has to have these times of cheshbon nefesh when he feels that his guf, his nefesh, his ruach, his neshama are standing in judgment. This is the difference. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, everybody's thinking about, the Bezdin Shalmaila, the higher courts looking at me and thinking about me and judging me. That's the time, especially when it comes to this time of the year, that a person's thinking about how he's being judged in the Bezdin Shamala. But the Rebbe says, but now with the Cheshbon Nefesh, that's not what you're thinking about, how they're judging you in the Bezdin Shamala. That's not the Machshav. The Machshav is who's the judge? You yourself are the judge. You're the judge. You're the Dayan. Not Hashem Kivyachal. You. You're sitting in judgment over yourself. You look at yourself as the dying. And in some way you have to step outside of yourself. That's what it means to make cheshbon nefesh. Because if you're inside of yourself, then you're karev la'atzmecha, and a person can't judge himself, you understand. A person can't judge himself because of all of his negiyas. So the beginning of a cheshbon nefesh is being able to step outside of yourself, which is itself an avaida, that should be done properly, and to look at one's life and oneself from a distance. To study yourself as if it were a person that wasn't you, right? Just a cold, intelligent judge that's studying the machshavas, diburim, and maisim of the person who's standing in judgment. And you're the judge. You're the dayan. You're the dayan, you're the aid, and you're the mechiyach. Lo abezden shomali yedinu ayisehate v'aku atzmai. V'ayidei sheyarbel estakel b'kibay be'emes. And this way you can look honestly at yourself. Not the way that we're a person on stam, when you're not looking from outside, and when you're inside, you're very defensive. So you're not a judge, then you're a defending attorney. And you're good at it. You might be lousy as an attorney when you're getting paid for it, but if it's a question of defending yourself, if your wife has a timer, then you become like an all-star attorney. Because when you're inside, when you're wrapped up inside yourself, then you're not making a cheshbon nefesh. Even though you'll say 100 times, I thought about this, and I conclude that I'm right. Right? I thought about this and you're wrong. That's not a cheshbon nefesh. You make any cheshbon. That's just you being defensive. So then you're just being an attorney. And everyone knows that aside from a few attorneys, all attorneys are liars. And the whole malach is a malach of sheker. Aside from not anybody who anybody that I know will Yirei Shemayim. But I'm saying sincerely, no, people is Yirei Shemayim, a person is Yirei Shemayim. But stam, it's a malach of sheker. They even like a lot of jokes about that. But people who are lawyers tell me that it's that unless I shouldn't trust them, they tell me this either. But that the truth is that there's a lot of sheker. There's a lot of sheker. But that's not the only profession of the sheker. Obviously, there are different professions where people have to be more involved in shkarim and so on. So the nature of a person when he's in himself is that he defends himself. He's very defensive, and he makes all kinds of excuses and all kinds of lies, because that's the teva of a person when he's representing himself. And then it's much more desperate than when he's representing somebody else, because he'll pick on any little thing and he'll use that as a whole binyan to make himself that he's innocent. So that's not judging yourself; that's defending yourself. It's not called a cheshbon nefesh if you're defending yourself. So b'shas ma'aseh, when someone's arguing with you, or someone points out a fault in you and you're feeling insulted or hurt, then that's not a cheshbon nefesh. That's stam, that you're defending, you become very defensive. And even if you say diburim like, yeah, I know it's true that I have some faults, you don't feel that. You just say that because you think that by saying that, you're going to somehow get that person to hear how be'emes you're a tzaddik. So you say, I know, sometimes I do make mistakes, or sometimes I do get angry, or sometimes I do have this fault. That's only part of your defense, because every lawyer says all kinds of things like that too. It says all kinds of diburim only so that the sheker should be able to get through. So that means you're a very smart attorney, and you're very good at defending yourself with all of your shkarim. That's not called a cheshbon nefesh. A cheshbon nefesh is when you're judging yourself, not when you're defending yourself. And when a person feels hurt or insulted, he's naturally defending himself. So sometimes you'll find that someone said something bad about you, either to you, mamish, or you heard that somebody said something horrible about you, and you get very depressed about it. You get very depressed. Or even if they didn't say something horrible, they said something that wasn't so gewaltig. There's a guy that called me recently. He's not from here. There's a guy called me that there was supposed to be some kind of a conference call, a phone call, and between him and some other people in the firm. The firm has an office in New York and has some other places also. I don't know, Los Angeles or Miami has other. So it was a conference call, and they didn't know that he already got onto the thing. They didn't know that. So and someone's and they said it, like, you know, whatever, is this guy here? No, there was no answer. So there were like people from all over America that were blasting him. We're going to have to get rid of him. He's no good. He doesn't know how to do this. He's an idiot. He doesn't work right. And he messed up this deal. And the guy told me he heard this whole thing from all these people who thought like his chaverim. And they were saying all these terrible things about him on the telephone. So, you know, he didn't say, hi, I've been here the whole time. You know, he got off the phone and he felt two things. One, he felt like killing all those people. And then after he'd be finished with that, then he'd kill himself. So that's how he felt. He said, my whole life is, these are people he's working with for like 10 years. And he thought that they're machshiv him. And he heard all these people telling him, saying to each other that they, and they all were masking to each other. So Kodim Kol must be, maybe there's a problem talking about how he's working. I mean, it seems like there's a consensus like that. Okay, but that's it's a terrible thing to hear that. It's terrible. And so he didn't know what to do. Should he speak to none of the people there was like the boss, the president of the place wasn't on that conference call. So he didn't know. She thought that this is what she'd do, and should he leave the place, and this and that, and you know. So it's a very, very painful thing. And when you're feeling that, and when you're hearing that, even much less of an Indian like that, that's obviously horrible. But anybody that said, you heard something that said about you, so naturally you could get very, very, I'm not talking about being angry at that person, after you get over that. So you feel depressed. You feel depressed. Either you feel that you say it's a lie, it's not true, or you feel depressed that somebody found out something about you that you were hoping that others wouldn't find out. But you become depressed about it, you become sad about it. And you become defensive. You become defensive. It's not a cheshbon nefesh. That's just a reaction. It's not a cheshbon nefesh. A cheshbon nefesh means a cheshbon nefesh. And a cheshbon means with seichel. And seichel means that you have to, that means not that someone said something or you heard something. It means you judge yourself. You don't wait for someone to tell you the truth about yourself 30 years later, like I told you before the summit. There's a nice that this husband and wife that they were arguing, they were coming to talk, and the wife started to say things that she had things from 30 years that she never told him. And she said, this, you know, how you said this to me. He said, how come you never told me? So she said, what do you mean? You didn't think about how you said that to me? You didn't think about how you did that to me? You never told me. What, I have to tell you that? What's the matter? You didn't... So she was hoping that somehow during those 30 years he made a cheshbon nefesh, you know, whatever it was, he made a cheshbon nefesh of the things that he would come to her and say, I'm sorry. Nothing. And he didn't deny that those things. He wasn't saying it was sheker. He didn't say she was lying. He said, I didn't know. Oh, if you would have said to me, I would, oh, you know, those diburim. You should have told me that it hurt you when I said that I wished you, you know, I wished your parents would drop dead. You should have told me. I didn't know. I thought you'd be all right with that. You know, people, you know, things like this come up in life. I thought you'd be okay with that. No, I wasn't okay with it. You know, and it's been hurting me ever since. Oh, sorry. No, a person doesn't live with a cheshbon nefesh. He doesn't have a cheshbon nefesh. He doesn't think about what he said during the day. He doesn't think about how he acted towards people during the day. And then he gets defensive. Now, he was defensive. Right away then, well, what do you think? You didn't say anything to hurt me? That becomes right. That's the answer. You know what you said to me? What you did to me? That's right. That's what I'm saying. That's not a cheshbon hanefesh. You're not judging yourself. You're defending yourself. The Baruch Shalom says a cheshbon hanefesh, it means to be a judge, not to be a lawyer. To be a judge, not to be a lawyer. And in this case, it's ain dai nasa eid, not ain eid nasa dayim, but ain dai nasa eid. That you have to be not to testify on your behalf and not to defend yourself, but to judge yourself be'emes. We'll start again.